Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for the hope of this day and the anticipation of that day. The day when we get to be home and be with you forever and always. May the hope and the promise and the truth of the history of the one and the delight in the future of the one yet coming be ours this day, afresh and anew, or for some, for the very first time. And so we ask that you would bring that to light. You would bring that to bear, not only in our minds, but that we would hear it through our ears, and it would bury its truth deep in our hearts, that our souls might be transformed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Generally, on Easter Sunday, we have a message that focuses just on the empty tomb. We've had a lot of songs about that. We've talked about the idea that he's risen, and we have sung that and seen it, and we've visually put it before us. The idea is most of us who would come on a given Sunday morning would understand that Easter is about that thing. But for many of us, we would wrestle with the idea of, does it really make a difference in my everyday life, day by day, moment by moment? And that's what I'd like us to address this day. The fact that he has risen is a fact, but for the next few minutes, what I'd like to do is focus on the fact that this is to make some difference in our life, day by day. So if you're with us today, and you might be a skeptic, you might be one who isn't really sure about this, you've been invited or family members brought you, and you're wrestling with the whole idea of what this really means in terms of your life, what I'm glad you're here, first of all, and that you are skeptical, and I welcome that skepticism. I really do. What I'd like to ask you to do for the next few minutes is to take the skepticism about whether Christianity is actually true and set that aside for a minute and just grab hold of one idea about that truth, and that's this. Over 1 billion people on the face of the earth believe that Jesus Christ on this day was raised from the dead, that he actually died on a Roman cross, he was buried, and he rose again. And the historical reality of that is being proclaimed with all that they are. Now, if 1 billion people plus believe that, and it's spreading all the time, it's worth taking a step back and say, does that make a difference, or is it supposed to be making a difference in my life? Because if that idea really is true, if those physical time-space reality events actually happened, we do well to ask ourselves one simple question. So what? So what? And so I'd like to take us to a non-traditional Easter passage, and I'd like to point you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Now, we're going to put it up on the screen there, and we're going to look at it, but you're welcome to scroll to it on your phone or some other device also. And if you'd like, there are chair Bibles where you can grab underneath the racks of the chairs and you can look at it there. In those chair Bibles, 2 Corinthians is found on page 804. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Let me just set that a little bit in that, what does Corinthians mean? It's written to a church at a city named Corinth. That's why they're called Corinthians. The guy who wrote this letter was the Apostle Paul. He actually founded that church in Corinth, and so it was dearly loved to him. He put a lot of time and energy into establishing that church, and he writes a first and now a second, and there are other letters that he wrote to the church. We have two of them preserved, and this letter comes to us, and so he's encouraging these people who are his dearly beloved church, and this is what he's saying to them again, 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 7, I'd like you to follow along. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The Word of God. So our text points out this treasure. That's what Paul calls it. It's a treasure that brings a hope. It isn't just any hope. It is an amazing, lasting, enduring hope. So I want to look at that idea of treasure, because that's what the text says. And I want you to step back with a little bit of a moment of reflection and ask yourself, what's your treasure? Probably an indication of what your treasure is would be that thing that you, when you daydream, that's just where your mind always goes. That thing that you get anxious about, it maybe wakes you up in the night. Those things that you hang on to and that you're afraid of ever losing them, what is it that you essentially also just take delight in? And then let me ask you a question, reflecting on that. If that treasure is a thing, or it's a person, or an idea, ask yourself, in this crazy world of difficulty, because we look at this idea of it being a clay pot, and I've got one that happens to be painted on the outside, but this clay pot that it's contained in this crazy world, if it were taken away, would that crush you? And if so, are you open to considering another treasure this day? To thinking about a different treasure for the source and sustenance of your life. So if God really did send his son to the earth to die and he was buried and he raised again, there must be some purpose to that event. There must be some reason those exploits took place. What does it mean for me? Again, the question, so what? Does it make any difference tomorrow when I go to work? So the resurrection of Jesus is a treasure, and it produces hope. That's what Paul is proclaiming here, and that's what I'm asking you to consider. And there's 3 points, because there's 3 paragraphs here. And in finding this treasure, we find that there are 3 things that Paul wants to talk about, and I'm going to share those 3 paragraphs and 3 stories that go with them. First, in finding the treasure, we find hope. By giving the treasure away, we find hope. And the treasure is found by faith. So let's take each of those and each of those paragraphs in turn. First, in finding the treasure, we find hope. Stephen Hoffer is a guy who was a musician, and he came on rough times. He did part-time recording gigs, but he wasn't doing very good at it, and he was, frankly, almost starving. And I don't know who Stephen Hoffer is, but he decided one day enough was enough, and his parents had been talking to him about a bunch of stuff that had been stored in the attic. And so he decided to stop by and sort through that, because really he wasn't getting much work, so he might as well do that. And he went up in the attic, and he noticed among this whole plethora of boxes that were stored up there in his parents' attic, there was a box or two labeled 1975, and there were some labeled 1976, but there was a whole bunch of boxes that were labeled 1977. And he thought, and he said, He was always one of those kids who really took very good care of his toys, and he was really, you know, organized about them and everything. And 1977, can you think of a movie that came out in 1977 that produced a whole bunch of new toys that were going along with the movie? Yeah, that's right. Star Wars. And what Hoffer found up in those boxes was $10,000, as a matter of fact, worth of Star Wars toys. And so his outlook was looking a little bit better because of the treasure that he found, where he thought he was going to be just throw it out old stuff. Found $10,000 worth of treasure there in the attic. And so here he was with these George Lucas toys, and that's the treasure he found. But notice what verse 7 says. This treasure is found in jars of clay. What is the treasure that's found in jars of clay? We just have to go up one verse, and we can see what the treasure is that he's talking about. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory displayed in the face of Christ. The light of the glory of God. Picture the scene. You are deep in the dark recesses of a cave way back in, and you've gotten lost in there, and suddenly your flashlight goes dead. And someone brings you a light. How valuable that light. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying we found a light in a very dark place, and that light is Christ himself. That's our treasure. So imagine if, you know, Stephen Hoffer paid more attention to the cardboard box and just threw it out because it's, after all, it's just a jar of clay. It's just a cardboard box. But in that jar, there was a treasure, Paul says, that is stored there. So life, it tends to press in on us, doesn't it? And we encounter many difficulties in life. Life is fragile, and the Bible doesn't pretend that it's otherwise. Look at what verses 8 through 10 go on to say. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. You see, do you ever find yourself perplexed? I know I do. Why, God? Why are you doing this? I am perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but not abandoned. I am struck down, but I'm not destroyed. We're always carried around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The idea is that it would make a difference Monday morning, that it would make a difference every day of our life, that this light really has come to be our absolute treasure. So we carry it around. The idea is, the Bible doesn't say that we live without difficulties, but in fact, we can find even in the midst of those difficulties that in fact there really is a hope. So that's the first paragraph, first story. Paul Bubna was the president of our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, from 1996 to 98. He was out visiting one of the seminaries one day, and he said, I had visited this week with a pastor who serves as an adjunct professor at our seminary. He is highly regarded by both faculty and students, and I was anxious to get better acquainted with him. His face radiated joy. His smile is engaging. His manner is disarming. He walks with a noticeable limp. I noticed that he had to snap his knee brace so that he could sit down. In a few moments we visited, he communicated God's grace to my heart and showed great sensitivity to the pain I am experiencing in my walk. As he got up to go, snapping his knee brace back in place, I inquired as to whether or not he had ever had polio. Yes, he said, he had had polio as a boy in Malaysia, but he had made a complete recovery. Seeing my question on his face, he offered that his present condition was the result of 13 months of beating and torture for becoming a Christian. He was in almost constant pain, and yet he encouraged me with a reminder that pain does not hinder our effectiveness in ministry, but is rather the very stuff out of which it grows. Many Christians testify to that kind of being hard-pressed and yet knowing hope. So can I ask you a question? That treasure that came to your mind when I asked you about it a little bit ago, that thing that you feel like you came in here, you were living for, if someone beat you for 13 months, would it still be your treasure? If you were beaten for that treasure, would it still be a treasure you would cling to? Because for those in Christ, over and over again, that has rung true. They have held to it. They have found it. Many people find that this treasure is producing in them that kind of hope. That's what they found. But let's move on to the second paragraph. By giving the treasure, Paul says, by giving it away, we find hope. How many of you, if you ever go out, like, I'm going to pretend for a minute, and that these shoes are like really nice $200 shoes, they're designer shoes and stuff, and you went to a store and you found them for 20 bucks. The next day after you buy those shoes and you wear them to work or wherever, when you put those on, what are you waiting for someone to do? Ask you about them, nice shoes, and you're going to say, I got them 20 bucks, baby, yeah! You see, it's finding the treasure is one thing, but the treasure found is not complete until the treasure is told. It's kind of given away. You have to say it for it to become the full meaning of how great it is. Paul, notice here in verse 13, quotes Psalm 116. I believe, therefore I have spoken. What he's saying, I found this treasure, I got to tell it. I found this thing. It's unbelievable. I've got to tell it because it's not really complete until we do the telling. I don't know. I work in the grade school some, and I go there and help, but I don't know. Do they still do show and tell? Do they do show and tell? How many of you did show and tell? What was the coolest thing about show and tell? Got to show, right? You wanted to bring in your puppy. You wanted to bring in your new football or whatever it was. It was the showing that was the thing about that. So the idea of giving joy to others, notice how verse 13 goes on. It says that we are showing this so that others would come to know the hope. When I first accepted Christ, it was my boss in the military who led me to the Lord, and there was a dramatic transformation. I don't know how long it was, but it was just a few weeks, and I began telling people about this. I didn't always do it well, but I was so excited about what Christ had done in my life. I was proclaiming it. I was telling everyone. I was sharing that faith in Christ because he had done such a radical transformation in my life. I found a treasure, and I had to tell it. Look at how verse 13 goes on. We also believed, and therefore we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. We get to go one day and be with him. That's the hope. So with the result, notice verse 15 goes on, that you too will benefit. In other words, as I tell you, you benefit, and you hear it, and you tell someone else, and you that person benefits, and the cycle continues. That's why we give it away. That's why we tell it. They could go to the store and buy it for 20 bucks too. They would find the great treasure, and more people, Paul says, would hear this great story and tell it. I have found a treasure. Second paragraph. Second story, let me tell you about a guy named Adoniram Judson. He was called from a very comfortable life to be a missionary in a very difficult place to live. But he'd also fallen in love with a young lady named Anne. And so he wanted to marry her and take her with him. But here's part of the letter requesting that Anne would accompany him in his missionary service. He's written this letter to her father, asking for her hand in marriage. Guys, probably this isn't the way to go about it, but that's all right. Look at what Adoniram Judson said. I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world. Whether you can... Yeah, I know. Good luck with that. Whether you can consent to her departure and her subjection to hardship and suffering of the missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all of this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you, and for the sake of the perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God? Can you consent to all of this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with the crown of righteousness? Both the father and the daughter agreed. And as a matter of fact, they did go, and they encountered incredibly difficult circumstances. The story of pain goes on and on. And at 37 years old, having recently given birth to a daughter, Anne, in fact, did die at a very young age from spotted fever. It was not an easy life. It was full of suffering. And yet later in life, Adoniram Judson wrote this: "If I had not felt certain that every additional trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not have survived my accumulated sufferings." Will your treasure deliver that in those kinds of times? Will your treasure stand true when life comes crashing like that? Will that thing that you hope in, will that achievement that you look to, will it stand those sorts of tests? We find that people all the world over have found that kind of a treasure. And so the first paragraph says we have to find that treasure. Second, we have to give it to really have it be completed. But the third paragraph says, how do we find it? It is, we circle back. The third point, the third paragraph is, trusting the treasure helps us find hope. We have to trust in it. We do have to believe this is a walk of faith. I don't know about you, but I think that Paul believed, though I've told the story about physical pain, I think Paul does admit that one of the opposites of treasure, I don't know that it's an antonym actually in the dictionary, but I think one of the opposites of treasure is pain, physical pain. Some of you know this, some of you don't, but 6.5 weeks ago I had an encounter with a big tree branch that knocked me out in the back of my head and snapped my neck forward and pulled the muscles in my neck and shoulders. And 6.5 weeks ago that happened, and I'm still not all the way healed up. And I'm mindful of something. I used to heal faster than this. What's with that? How does that happen? And look at what it goes on to say. Verse 16. Outwardly, we are wasting away. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry to break the news to you. You will. Outwardly, we are wasting away. But look at what he says. Verse 17. Our troubles, though, are light and momentary. Wait a minute. Who's this dude, Paul, that's saying our troubles are light and momentary? Gary, you don't know my troubles. My troubles aren't light and momentary. As a matter of fact, right now they're killing me. But I want you to look at the third story from this third paragraph. And I want you to look at the story of the guy who wrote that. That he said, notice, second person plural, our, my, Paul's saying, my troubles. My troubles, Paul's saying, are light and momentary. And all you got to do is turn a few pages, if you want, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's Paul's light and momentary troubles. Now, Paul is trying to validate his apostolic ministry. He wished that this church that he planted would just listen to him because he's telling the truth. But somehow, he has to validate who he is so that they will listen. He has to prove that he really is who he says he is so that they will listen. And so he's validating that. He doesn't want to have to, if you will, tell this story. But he's trying to get them to see, don't you understand how important this is and the truths I've been telling you? And look what he says, beginning at verse 23. In 2 Corinthians 11. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. See, he doesn't want to have to say this. I am more. I have worked much harder. I have been imprisoned more frequently. I have been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. Now, you thought the letter from Adoniram Judson was bad. But he says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Please understand something there. We just read that sentence and we go right over it. He was flogged 5 times. It was not uncommon for those to receive a flogging to die from their back being shredded to pieces and they'd bleed to death. 5 times he received that. 3 times I was beaten with rods on those same scars. Once I was pelted with stones, he was left for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger from the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked, and beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And he says, our troubles are light and momentary. Are you kidding me? Come on. Would any of us say, with just a couple of those things, that our troubles are light and momentary? How in the world could Paul say that in verse 17? It's because of what he said in verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not the scars, not the pain, not the hurt. We fix our eyes not on what is seen. This is the faith step. Not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, life really is fragile. That's where we started from. It's contained in a jar of clay. And maybe for you, you're feeling like you're being bashed on the rocks. Like that. And you're being crushed. You're wondering if you're going to hang with it, if you're going to stay there. Please understand, this is a jar of clay. It shatters that easily. It can be gone that quick. But there is a treasure that lasts. And it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a hope that no one can take away. No one can crush it. No one can break it. No one can dissolve it. They can't throw it out. I have watched a number of people die. And if you speak to those nurses in our community who are at end of life times, you'll find that there's amazing hope by people. That though their body is being broken, they know a hope. God has provided many people in history and many people in this very room who live with that kind of hope. Talk to them. Ask them. See, the truth of the resurrection has provided many people who give that example. And that there is a hope that is beyond all hope. It cannot be stolen. It cannot be taken away. It can't even be beaten out of you. Is that your treasure this day? And if not, would you make it your treasure? Even in great pain, and especially for some great pain, God has been faithful to them. Telling the story helps us to really know it's ours and that we have owned it. But trusting and entering into a community of people who are trusting that and helping us to move along that line, that's where we find this hope in that we're participating together in it. If that's not your treasure when you walked in the door, I hope you'll make it your treasure today, now. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks for the hope of Jesus Christ, that the death, burial, and resurrection is my hope. And Lord, I confess, so often I do. I let my mind, I let my thoughts, I just wander away to other treasures, and they will not last. But I pray for the one who came in today, didn't really realize they were making something else their treasure and it won't last. I pray that today they would turn from that treasure that is sin, because it's making something else their God. And I pray that today they would trust Christ as their ultimate treasure, that you would be their hope, that the truth of the resurrection of Christ would birth anew or to start today. Help us live for this treasure. God, I pray that before this day is out, those who have made that decision today, they would tell it. They would tell it to the one who invited them. They would tell it to one of us. They would share, this is my treasure. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to share this treasure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.